Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for the words that we have heard from your scriptures. And may the hearing of them and our thoughts and the words of my mouth serve to light a fire within us, that our hearts might burn like those of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the city of Hanover, Germany, there is a graveyard which has been closed for a number of years. The Garden Churchyard. And owing to its antiquated monuments and the fact of it being the resting place of a number of celebrated characters, it awakens the liveliest curiosity. A few paces east of the unassuming little church in the graveyard is a monument tottering from its foundations. It is built in the form of steps, and the massive stones are secured by heavy iron clasps. The monument was erected in the year 1782. Now, beside the usual family inscriptions at the base of the monument are engraved these elegant lines: "The sepulcher purchased for all eternity is not permitted to be opened." Okay. Opposed to this determination of man, a beech seed, perhaps carried by the wind, found its way into a crevice in the foundation. And in the course of years, this little seed grew to be a strong, luxuriant tree. Marked the proud inscription of the monument, raised the massive stones from their foundation, and rent the strong iron clasp asunder. This open grave reminds the visitor of the mutability of earthly scenes and the fallacies of man's resolution to project plans to last for all humanity. Well, all eternity, too. Well, and by the way, if you go online and type in Hanover, Germany, beech tree growing out of tombstone or something like that, you can see a picture of that grave. Unlike the owner of the tomb, we want to believe that all tombs can and will be opened on the last day. We want to believe that new life is possible, not only in the next life, but also in this life. We want to have hope. We want to have hope that what we often experience in this life is not all that there is. We want to believe, but it's so hard. And this is where the disciples on the road to Emmaus find themselves. Their hearts were heavy as they discussed and debated the news of the day. And at this point for them, the resurrection was an idle tale, or a belief that just seemed too incredulous to be believed. Yet they wanted to believe it, and so they were talking about it. Their hearts yearned for the good news to be the truth. They so wanted to believe. We're finding it difficult. And you know, isn't that why you come here Sunday after Sunday? To hear that the resurrection was and is real. The Reverend Susan Andrews, a Presbyterian pastor, in an article entitled "Holy Heartburn" in the Christian Century magazine, shares the following thought. On Sunday morning, in contemporary America, modern disciples come straggling through the church door, weighed down by cynicism, by stress, pretense, power. They are sophisticated lawyers and skeptical scientists and shell-shocked journalists, skilled practitioners in the seductions of the world, but nervous novices in the realm of the Spirit. They, like the first disciples, yearn for the living presence of God, but they are too preoccupied, too suspicious, too busy to actually recognize God. In their objective world of fact and truth and matter and money, the church's world of mystery and meaning and risk and relationships seems silly. And so they are eager to discuss and debate the idea of God, but unprepared to experience or recognize the presence of God. Then the disciples are joined by Jesus walking on the road. They did not recognize him because they just still could not see the resurrection. But they listened to this man while they were walking. And Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets. And their hearts, we find out later, began to burn within them. A holy fire was lit. And the idle tale became a raging fire of belief and faith. But they still didn't see Jesus. But they understood what he was saying. It all began to make sense for them. And then when they were at the dinner table, he broke the bread. And the light turned on. They recognized him. The action made sense with the words that he had shared, and they finally saw him. When the actions match the words, Jesus becomes visible. The yearning becomes fulfilled reality. In our Acts passage, Peter is speaking to the Pentecost crowd. This is after Pentecost. And he tells them that the one that that was killed has risen and calls them to believe. And he speaks to the yearning in the hearts of the people. This was Peter who denied Jesus three times just a few days earlier. Well, more than a few days earlier, but still, he had denied Jesus three times. But now he gets it. And the people see that his actions and his words are matching together. They work. They make sense. A number of years ago in a sermon, I talked about how people need to hear about Jesus from other people who know Jesus firsthand. So many today know Jesus in a secondhand sort of way. They heard it from somebody else and they just pass it on. They really don't get it themselves. But the church, the world needs people who have that fiery passion of Christ burning within them. That's what you get when you know Jesus firsthand. This is how the people of the way, which is the early Christian movement was called, was transformed into the Christian church. People had a passion, and their actions and their words matched the words of Christ. This is how they were able to endure and even grow through the persecution of the Christian faith, by the Romans and by the Jews. However, many have lost that passion. Consider the story of Mahatma Gandhi. As a young man, he studied in London. After learning about Christianity and reading the Sermon on the Mount, he decided that Christianity was the most complete religion in the world. It was only later, when he lived with a Christian family in East India, that he changed his mind. In that household, he discovered that the Word rarely became flesh, that the teaching of Jesus rarely became the reality of Jesus. The words and the actions did not match. The Christian family only knew Christ secondhand. The church today is struggling because we have too many second-hand Christians. We need first-hand Christians. We need people who have encountered Christ on the road to Emmaus. People who feel a fire burning within them. Could you have encountered Christ on the road to Emmaus? A week ago, Barbara and I were invited by a family in her church to a dinner at a Christian school near here. That family from her church sends their children to this school. And the speaker for the dinner was Gracia Bonham. Now, you may not remember Gracia Bonham, but she and her husband Martin were missionaries in the Philippines a number of years ago, and they were abducted by Abu Sayyaf, an arm of Al-Qaeda in the Philippines. And they were held in the jungles of the Philippines, moving constantly from place to place to evade the Philippine army. And after 376 days in captivity, the army caught up to the Abu Sayyaf, and a battle ensued. And besides members of the Abu Sayyaf that were killed, Martin was killed by a stray bullet. And Gracia was wounded. But the army freed her that day. The day that she lost her husband is the day that she was freed. She told her story, and I will admit, it's riveting. She talked about how she and Martin believed that people's prayers all over the world were sustaining them in their captivity. But she also talked about the fact that she and Martin, while they prayed a lot, they just weren't feeling right, or she wasn't feeling right. Finally, she realized that in her prayer life, God was telling her and Martin to love your captors. And she said it was hard. But eventually we started doing that. And even after her release, some of her captors were captured and were brought to prisons in this country and prisons in the Philippines. And she has visited them and she has ministered to them through letters. And they have begun to respond to her faith and her ministry. Now, I don't presume to agree with Gracia's theology, or all of it, I should say. But she's someone who knows God firsthand. While she was talking at that fundraising dinner last week, it was so quiet. People were listening. The fire burned in her and Martin. We all face times of doubt. We all face times of hardships. And we make it through. But did we ever stop to think that maybe what God is the one that saw us through that hardship? Or that time of trial? Or that sickness? We need to see God's hand at work in our lives. That's how we become first-person Christians. We need to do that so that others can see God in their lives as we share with them. We have to believe that new life is possible in our lives, that God is behind that new life. We have to be willing to claim the new life and God who is behind it. And after Jesus disappeared from the midst, the two disciples went back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. And they met with the 12, where they heard not only that Simon Peter had met up with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, but then they told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. They could not contain the fire within them. They had to do something. In his book, Magnificent Defeat, Frederick Buechner shares the following. You know, there's really no story about the resurrection in the New Testament, except in the most fragmented way. It's not described at all. There is no poetry about it. Instead, it's simply proclaimed as a fact. Christ is risen. In fact, the very existence of the New Testament itself proclaims it, unless something very real indeed had took place on that strange, confused morning, there would be no New Testament, no church, and no Christianity. Think about that. We wouldn't be here. Something happened. However you believe that something happened, something happened. Something always happens when new life becomes evident. And we need to see those times in our lives. That let the fire of the Spirit burn within us with a passion so that others can find new life for themselves. That's what we do here every Sunday. Because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. Can you encounter Christ on the road? I hope so. Because the church today really needs people who know Christ firsthand. We need people who are like trees of faith, splitting open the places of death and despair, and letting the fire and light of Christ in. Amen.